Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. Special episode because I am live with Matt in Salt Lake City. Some fun news. I quit my job last week, relatively spur of the moment. So I got a couple weeks off, so came up to surprise our mom for her birthday, which was yesterday. So now today's Wednesday, August 28th. Matt just got back from a long day at work at his high school where he's teaching at.
Yes, a very long day. I'm jealous that you got to quit. Quitting's a great, it must feel really nice.
It was fun. Healthcare is more expensive. I wish I would have done more research on how much healthcare costs. But other than that, it's fun. Today, though, was not as productive as I hoped it would be. I mowed the lawn. I babysat a little bit. You know, a lot of stuff. I was doing stuff, but not accomplishing anything all day.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't have to be productive. You quit your job. That's the beauty of the whole thing.
You're right. I would like to be productive. I had some stuff I wanted to do. But we'll see if tomorrow gets better. But we're doing something today. That's recording this episode of the podcast. Yes, it's so much easier doing it live just because I can actually see when you're going to talk instead of like interrupting each other.
Oh, so much better, yeah.
Here's what we're talking about today. So today's, like I said, Wednesday. This weekend, week one of college football is underway. Last episode, we did our AFC preview. So most of the episode is going to be our NFC preview, the teams we think are going to make the playoffs. But there's four college games we're going to talk about for like a minute, 2 minutes each. And then we'll go to the NFC. Matt, let's start. Where do you want to start?
I think the big one, at least for us, BYU-Utah, I think we should start there.
Okay. Yeah, Utah number 14 in the country, playing at BYU, both of our alma maters. Utah's won 8 in a row, 13 out of 16. There's pretty much everything is going Utah's way for the last decade. Do you think BYU has any shot at winning?
No, but it's not for any of those reasons. I think it's just the BYU is one of those... Did I do my BYU-Atlanta Falcons comparison last week? Because I don't want to do it again.
I don't remember, so, and we're going to talk about the Falcons at some point today, so we'll fit it in.
Yeah, so basically, we've made it no secret that we love Bomani Jones, but he has to say that he doesn't cheer for the Atlanta Falcons anymore because he is off that narcotic. And what he means is that the Atlanta Falcons, every year, no matter what happens, they're going to let you down. Case in point, up in the Super Bowl 28-3, still let you down. BYU, regardless of talent, they're one of those teams. They are going to make me think they're going to beat Utah, but then they're just not going to. I believe this. I feel like it's going to happen. And then even, like, for sake of discussion, we'll say that BYU did beat Utah. What am I going to say? It's like, ha! We got you for the first time in 12 years. You know what I mean?
BYU fans, and I technically count myself as a BYU fan because it's my alma mater, but I don't loop myself into this group, are the most arrogant people over nothing that I've ever met.
Right. And so, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's not even that. It's just the losing so many years in the row. It's like Andrew Luck. I just don't have joy in it anymore.
I think... You know, yeah, I don't think BYU has any sort of a chance. I think it'll be a close game. I don't think BYU has a chance, though.
Well, no, it'll be a close game. That's the whole point.
It's a sad thing.
They make it close until, and it's close until you think, like, holy crap, they could actually win, and then they're going to lose. That's the problem.
Well, we both got Utah in that. Let's go to a game we're a little more detached from, especially Matt.
One that I don't have trauma from?
Yeah, that's Northwestern and Stanford Nerd Bowl. Remember, Northwestern cost Christian McCaffrey the Heisman, in my opinion, because when they played at Northwestern to open the year, it was Christian McCaffrey's last year. I think it was his junior year because I think it declared early. It was a 9 a.m. kickoff for Stanford. It was 11 a.m. Chicago time, but 9 a.m. kickoff for Stanford. They lost that game. Christian McCaffrey went on to have the season he did. Stanford had two losses. I think if Stanford had one loss, he wins the Heisman over Derrick Henry. It's crazy. Deshaun Watson and Christian McCaffrey were finalists, and neither of them won the Heisman, which I think is a travesty. But Northwestern, they last year went 8-1 in the Big Ten, which fathoms me, not including the conference championship game. They have Clemson transfer quarterback, former five-star Hunter Johnson, coming in. I love Stanford. I think they're going to win. I think Northwestern's a good team. All-American, possibly linebacker, Patty Fisher. I think Stanford wins, though. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would probably go with Stanford. You know, I think for, you know, what you talked about, you know, them beating them, Christian McCaffrey's last year, you know, hurting their playoff chance, all that. I still think you're going to have a few players who are on that team who are going to be upset, going to want revenge. And Northwestern, I know they've been much, much better in recent years. That's really hard to sustain. You don't really see teams like Northwestern sustain success quite like this very often. There are a few, and they might prove me wrong. But I'm also going to go Stanford.
Couple of quick notes on each program, then we'll go to the next game. Northwestern has one of the coolest football facilities in the entire country. It's right on Lake Michigan in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Really pretty that I've never been to, so this is all word of mouth and pictures. Stanford has, I think, the toughest schedule in the entire country. On top of the nine Pac-12 games, Matt, their three non-conference games are Northwestern, obviously, UCF, who's whatever and won in the last two seasons,
mm-hmm.
and Notre Dame to finish the year off. And it's crazy because when they scheduled UCF, like the first time they played UCF, it's a home and home. UCF was in their 0-12 year, and now they're 22-1 or whatever. So just scheduling is crazy how far it works out. And that's what happens when you schedule college games so far out in advance. Let's go to Matt. I think the biggest game nationally in the country, real quick. Oregon Auburn. Auburn starting true freshman quarterback Bo Nix, Mr. Alabama, one of my favorite quarterbacks of this past true freshman class. Oregon has Justin Herbert, top prospect. I like Tua better, but consensusly Justin Herbert's a better NFL prospect. Who do you got winning that game?
This one I'm interested to see, because I don't think, you know, these teams are quite so extreme as they used to be, although Auburn still got Gus Malzahn and they'll be doing some similar things. But Auburn seems to be Oregon is kind of the really, you know, revolutionary Chip Kelly, lots of short, fast guys, that sort of an offense, whereas Auburn has, you know, like four running backs.
Auburn is, I've said this a lot of times, my favorite team that I don't care about. They're so fun to watch. Love them. I love Bo Nix. I think he's fantastic. Loved his high school film in Pinson. It was weird at my work, my former employer, I love saying that, my former employer, I was talking to this client from Pinson, Alabama, and I was like, hey, do you know Bo Nix? And we had like a 20-minute conversation about like Alabama high school football. And he's like, how do you know all this stuff? You live in Arizona. It's like, man, you have no idea what my life is like. But yeah, I like Auburn.
Yeah, I was also going to pick Auburn. I feel like it's going to be like in those old Mountain West days when BYU and Utah would be like way better than Air Force, but that Air Force just held the ball for like 45 minutes. I feel like you could get something like that happening. Not nearly that extreme. But even though Oregon has more talent, I like Auburn in the matchup.
Yeah, Auburn has arguably the best defensive line in the country. They have Oregon's receivers. There's two big receivers, especially Dylan Mitchell got hurt, so they'll be missing those guys. So Justin Herbert's going to have a harder time getting receivers open. Oregon's secondary is really experienced. They have like 80-something starts between all of them. So Oregon's defense is going to be better. Linebacker Troy Dye is a four-year starter there. But I like Auburn. I like the defense and Oregon's. If Oregon had their receivers, I might be rethinking that. But I'm going Auburn there. Last game we're going to talk about, then we'll go to the NFC preview. I'm really excited about this one, Matt. Oklahoma-Houston. Oklahoma is obviously one of the funnest teams to watch. They've had the most quarterback success in the country the last couple of years. I'm excited to see Jalen Hurts. But on the other side of the ball, Houston brings in West Virginia's coach, Dana Holgorsen, former offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. Head coach at West Virginia. It's rare going from Power 5 to Group of 5, but West Virginia to Houston might be one of those few situations where you'll want to do that. And then Houston has Derek King, who's one of the best quarterbacks that not a lot of people know about. He lit up Arizona last year. That was the first time I really saw him. Was first game of the year for the University of Arizona was against BYU. I was at that game. BYU won, which I was happy about. But the next game, Arizona went to Houston and just got the brakes beaten off of them. Derek King lit them up, and he was one of the best quarterbacks in the country last year. So I'm excited to see Dana Holgorsen and Derek King in this offense for Houston. Also excited to see Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma, how that works.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think you're going to get some growing pains just with Jalen Hurts. And I mean, I know Jalen Hurts, you know, he's won a national championship. He's been a really good player. But I think, you know, even he would probably tell you he's going to be a step down from Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. So I think you might have some growing pains there. I feel like Oklahoma's getting worse this year. Houston's maybe getting a little bit better. And I will just you know, I kind of feel like we should disagree on one of those. I'm going to go Houston just for that reason. You know, Oklahoma, I think, is going to experience some growing pains. I still think they end up making the playoffs, but this might be an early game that they drop.
Yeah, and I am picking Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's going to make the playoff. It's in Norman, Oklahoma. But this is a game, I truly think this is the most difficult non-Texas Longhorn game that Oklahoma plays.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you factor in, put it in context, first game of the season, so there's going to be some things that go wrong. Jalen Hurts, one thing he does well is protect the ball, so that's what's going to help Oklahoma. But De'Aaron King is electric. Dana Holgorsen's one of the best offensive minds in the country. He's had all offseason to prep for this Oklahoma game. So I'm picking Oklahoma, but I wouldn't be shocked if Oklahoma loses this game to Houston. But we're all excited for college football, so that's happening all week. And I'm actually going to Utah-BYU game tomorrow with our little brother, so I'm excited about that. Let's talk about the NFL, Matt.
Let's talk about the NFL.
Let's talk about the NFC in particular. So we're going to start with the two teams we think are going to be wild cards, and then we'll go to the division winners. Matt, you want to go first with your sixth seed, or you want me to go?
How about you go?
Okay. This is the first. Usually we don't talk at all, but we're literally sitting right next to each other, so I think we know a little bit what the other one is thinking. I went to the Falcons at six, and part of this, as you were sitting here to see, is somebody has to get in. You know, I don't think the Packers are going to get in. I didn't have faith in the Niners. I think they're too thin at some key positions there. Last year, I thought Atlanta, the only reason they didn't make the play, they're actually my Super Bowl pick last year. But the way to be bad in the NFL, on top of poor management, but it's like once the season starts, the way to have a bad season is multiple injuries at the same position. And that's exactly what happened to the Falcons last year, especially at defensive back, which I think is the most important defensive position, most important non-quarterback position in the league. So I think they're going to have a little better luck with injuries. I think the Panthers are going to be down. I think the Buccaneers, who knows what's going to happen with them in their division. The Saints are still going to be great, so I don't think the Falcons are going to win the division. But I think the Falcons have an incredible receiving core. Love their tight end, Austin Hooper. I actually played against him in high school. He went to Bingham High.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, and then went to Stanford. He's obviously a little better than me because he's playing for the Falcons, and we're right here right now. Calvin Ridley, I thought, was the best receiver coming out of the win his draft class a couple years ago. Julio Jones is obviously a freak. So I got the Falcons at six.
Okay. I like it. Good reasons. You know, I did not have them make the playoffs. It just, I don't know. The NFL, to me, more, because, like, you have less percentage of teams in the NFL making the playoffs than any sport besides baseball. But it still, it never feels like the sixth seed is, like, a good team, or there's somebody who finished seven or eight. It's like, oh, they deserve to be in the playoffs. It's always just kind of like, meh. So finding those teams is hard. But I went with the Dallas Cowboys.
That shocks me. I didn't think either of us were going to have Dallas.
Dallas usually makes the playoffs.
We're going to have some talking points.
They don't usually win in the playoffs, but they usually make the playoffs.
I think they have the lowest playoff win percentage in the last 20-something years in the NFL.
Well, my favorite stat, and I've shared this before, since the Cowboys won the Super Bowl, they have three playoff wins. The Jacksonville Jaguars have seven.
That's not even four. That's more than twice as much.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is more than twice as much. But, you know, Dallas, they have been a good team. They've won in the regular season. They're going to – I was about to say Ezekiel Elliott's not going to be suspended. I feel like he's not going to play the first couple games because at this point he's lost money unless he can win it back by forcing the Cowboys to give him a big contract. So I think at this point, he's going to have to sit out a few games. So that's going to hurt him. So that's certainly, you know, why I don't think they're going to end up winning the division. But, you know, I think he's going to come back. They still have Dak Prescott. They've got Amari Cooper. Solid defense. Not enough to win the Super Bowl, but enough to make the playoffs.
Let's talk about the Cowboys, because actually I'm glad you picked them, because I think they're one of the most intriguing teams right now. Do you want to start or end with Zeke? Because I think that's going to be the big one. But want to talk about their linebackers. Want to talk about Dak, Byron Jones, their cornerback.
Yeah, let's end on Zeke. Let's get some of this other stuff out of the way.
Well, let's start with the pros then. I think they have the best linebacker corner in, I almost said the country, in the league. So Leighton Vander Esch, last year a rookie from Boise State, from Salmon, Idaho, played 8-man football. I think a lot of people know the story. Went to Boise State. First round draft pick last year, led the team in tackles. Their other linebacker, Jalen Smith, he's the guy who tore his ACL for Notre Dame against Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl, missed his entire rookie year, just signed a really big contract with Dallas, was healthy last year. So I love their linebacking core. Byron Jones is the cornerback who a few years ago in the combine broke the record for broad jump, mm-hmm. Connecticut cornerback. You remember that? He's been really well. I thought I can, he can play both. He's played both safety and corner throughout his NFL career. So I like him. So I think they got some pieces on defense. I love Amari Cooper. I've said a lot that I thought he was the best receiver I've watched in college, which I'm only 27, so not super long, but I love Amari Cooper. I think he needed to get out of Oakland for a lot of reasons. I think Dak's a middling quarterback. You know, I think he's middle of the tier. He's okay. I think he does some good things, some bad things. I think he's just kind of, when we talk about wins above replacement, I think he's a replacement level quarterback.
Yeah, which is, you know, I feel like that's going to be enough in this NFC looking through some of these other teams to make it.
That's true. You know, in their division, I think neither of us like the Redskins. We both think the Giants are going to be pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about Zeke. Here's the thing with Zeke, Matt, and a lot of people don't understand this. So he's in a contract dispute right now with the Cowboys. What people don't realize, he has 2 years left on his contract. It's not even like he's going to be a free agent this year. It's not like Le'Veon Bell. It's not like Melvin Gordon. He's 2 years away from becoming a free agent. The Dallas Cowboys offered him a deal that would put him between Le'Veon Bell and Melvin Gordon, so he'd be the second highest paid running back in the league. And he said no. So I really don't know. It's the popular thing to side with players in contract disputes. But I don't know what he can want 2 years away from his being a free agent and turning down a deal where he's the second best running back, highest paid running back in the league. I don't know what else Zeke would want or could want. And what would be worth it? We saw Le'Veon Bell ultimately lost money with his holdout, even though he says he got what he wanted. Ultimately, when you factor in the money he lost in the 2018 season, lost potential earnings.
Right. It's tricky because, you know, part of the problem with running backs is people feel like they get through their first contract and then they can just get somebody who would be as good, you know, certainly for the money, at least would replace it. They'd rather spend that money somewhere else. So I think what Zeke's thinking is, well, they're not going to pay me in 2 years. In 2 years, they're going to think I'm old. They're going to want to try to replace me with somebody else. If I'm going to get my money, I have to get it now. And so from that perspective, I think he's doing the right thing. But also, you know, if I'm the Cowboys, I'm not going to pay him. You know what I mean? I think it's hard. You know, he's already lost games to suspension. You know, we can talk about, you know, how questionable those are or not, but the fact is that that's happened. And then also just it doesn't make sense to pay running backs. And it's sad because I think running backs are, you know, probably one of the two or three most skilled players on the field at any given time. But, you know, if you just look at the math, it doesn't really make sense.
No, it doesn't. I'm actually writing an article about this that I've made Matt go over a lot. So he's going to have a lot of editing to do on it. But it's centered around Zeke, was really why running backs are valued differently in the NFL than they are in any other level of football. And it all has to do with the salary cap. It comes down to the bottom line. Running back production is the least correlated with a running back's talent than any other position on the field. If that, did I say that word, makes sense?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So like DeMarco Murray, when he came over and played for the Eagles and just had a terrible year all of a sudden, it's because he wasn't playing behind that great line.
Yeah, and, you know, I think DeMarco Murray is a great player. But, for example, Pro Football Focus last year rated Zeke Elliott the 30th best running back in the National Football League. And he was the leading rusher in the NFL. So there's some Pro Football Focus saying 29 other running backs could have done that in Dallas's offense with the offensive line, with the blocking, everything like that. They could have done what Zeke did.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you going to pay someone to be the second best running back when there's 29 other guys? You can literally get a fourth round running back. I think Tony Pollard, Dallas's running back, even if he doesn't put up the same production as Zeke, this is a first round, but rookie running back out of Memphis is slated to be Zeke Elliott's backup. Y'all should be drafting him, by the way, in fantasy leagues if you haven't yet. But I think he's going to put up similar production to Zach. Even if it's not the same, the difference is Zeke at, let's say, $15 million versus Tony Pollard at $2 million plus $7 million to an offensive tackle, $4 million to Byron Jones, $4 million to another receiver. All that is more valuable than $15 million to Zeke.
Yeah,
that's what we're all saying. And it sucks for Zeke. It sucks for running back. It's honestly, I think, the worst position to play in sports in terms of like how you're valued economically.
Yeah. And they probably, I mean, you could correct me if I'm wrong, like maybe linemen, but I feel like running backs got to have the shortest lifespan of NFL players, like maybe linebackers or something.
Yeah, well, part of it with running backs is once a rookie contract, they just draft another one. So part of it is they're beat up as much more than any other position. The other part of it is, you know, they don't want to pay you. So that's another reason their careers are shorter than most positions.
Yeah. They've really, we talked about this earlier, but this the way there's always unexpected consequences when they do things with a collective bargaining agreement. I feel like that the, you know, lack of money that they pay rookies is really, really problematic, particularly for running backs.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people have talked about this, but because they're paying rookies so little, the thought was that there'd be more money going to the veterans. But what the NFL owners did, like, well, we'll just have the rookies on a team if we don't have to pay them. Like, why would you pay somebody a lot more money when you get similar production from someone on a rookie deal, mm-hmm. which made draft picks even more valuable? And I talked about this during the NFL draft last year. I guess it was this year. But the reason we saw, for example, the New York Giants trading the first round to draft DeAndre Baker, the cornerback from Georgia, when they could have gotten him in the second round, is because first round picks have a fifth-year option where there's one more year of team control. So even though the pick, like drafting someone 31st versus like 34th, you can probably get him at 34, hypothetically. It's that year of team control, extending the rookie deal, extending the rookie wage scale. And we saw Landon Collins. He should, if he was a first-round pick, he was the 33rd pick of the draft when he came out to the New York Giants. We're talking about the Giants a lot for a team that isn't going to make the playoffs. So he's the 33rd pick. So first pick of the second round. So he's on a four-year contract, no option. He's signed an 80 plus million dollar deal with Washington this offseason. If he was one pick earlier, he'd be in a rookie deal still.
Yeah, so it's a huge bummer. I wonder if that's why the Giants traded up to get that cornerback, is because they just lost Landon Collins. They didn't want to do that again.
I think that had a lot to do with it. So check out the article I'm writing when it comes out. It's part of a new website we're launching really soon. We'll have more details on our social media and stuff, but stay tuned for that. Something we're really excited about. Matt, let's go to the division winners. Who we think is going to win the division?
Okay, we still need a second wild card.
Oh, was that only six?
Yeah, we only did six.
Okay. Well, my second wild card, well, really who I have as a fifth seed, is the Bears, the Chicago Bears.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Last year, they won their division. They won the NFC North. Mitch Trubisky, I think it's similar to Dak Prescott. But I think the Bears do a lot of things well on offense. I think Devin Singletary, the rookie running back out of Florida Atlantic, he led the country last year in forced missed tackles, which I think is going to be perfect in Matt Nagy's offense. The only reason they didn't beat the Eagles last year moving further in playoffs is because they had kicking issues. So hopefully that doesn't happen again for them. Yeah, Khalil Mack on defense, obviously. I don't think they win division, but I think they're still talented enough. Nagy, I think, is one of the best offensive coaches in the league. They'll generate enough offense, even if Trubisky's a middle-tier quarterback, where they'll get, I think, 10-6 about and get in the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think that's a good pick. I actually, you know, this is going a little ahead. I had the Bears winning the division.
Okay.
And so for the wild card, I had the Vikings.
Okay.
So, and the Vikings, I just thought, you know, I really like a lot of the receivers. I like, Kirk Cousins. I like, you know, Kirk Cousins, I feel like he is probably top 12 quarterbacks in the NFL. And so, I think, you know, you combine that, you know, their defense, they've, you know, been on the cusp for a couple of years. I still don't think they're quite talented enough to end up making it to the Super Bowl, but I still think they've got, you know, a lot more talent than a lot of other teams, and so I think that's going to be enough to get them that wild card.
Yeah, I think they have arguably the best receiving duo in Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen in the National Football League. Dalvin Cook is back. If he's healthy, I just talked about for 10 minutes about how running backs don't matter, but if Dalvin Cook is healthy, he's a fantastic running back. I think that'll help with their offensive production as well. And then I think last year the offensive coordinator had some issues. They replaced him midseason. I think they kind of figure that out. I think they'll be okay. I've been winning the division, which we'll get to later, but I like Minnesota a lot. Matt, who's your fourth seed?
The Bears.
Okay.
My fourth seed is the Bears. So you just talked about that, so we won't spend too much time. But I just think, you know, they've got, you know, the best player in the division, probably besides Aaron Rodgers. You know, and even with Aaron Rodgers, I know people, you know, talk about him and they like him. I just, you know, it's been a sec since they've made the playoffs or at least gone far in the playoffs. So I think you might have to look at Khalil Mack as being the best player in the division. He's playing a very impactful position. You know, like you said, they've hopefully fixed the kicking issues and some of those other things.
Yeah, I think we should mention the reason I don't have the Packers in the playoffs, and I'm assuming you echo my sentiments for the most part, is I don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to look like under Matt LaFleur, the new head coach there. Worried about that. Last year we saw it was a train wreck. I do like Davante Adams, their wide receiver. They've had running back question marks for years. Defense, you never know what's going on with the Packers. I just think the Packers have too many question marks is why I assume both of us don't have them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I don't, you know, Davante Adams, I could probably name a couple other players, though, although I think those players are starting to get older now. But like, how, the Packers haven't had a running back in, like, 7 years. And Jamal Williams, you're my boy, but they're not starting Jamal Williams. So, yeah, you just pulled people off. Clay Matthews was one guy I was going to say, but he's probably 32.
I think he's even older than that.
Yeah. So he's gotta be on his way out, but, so yeah, that's why I thought, too many question marks for the Packers.
Matt, my number four is the Rams, the LA Rams.
Okay.
Yeah, I have them at four, and here's why. I think Sean McVay, and this is something that Trent Dilfer, Elite 11 coach, works for ESPN, I think at least part-time, he talked about it a lot. I think he has such a simplistic offense where we saw Goff's rookie year under Jeff Fisher just threw up on himself, basically. His second year, Sean McVay comes in and he looks spectacular. I think Jared Goff is the ultimate. I don't like him. Like, obviously, he seems like a nice guy. He was a Giants fan, so I liked him when he was at Cal as a person. But I never thought this is someone I want to be, like, number one overall pick. I think he's the ultimate system quarterback. I think we're starting to figure it out a little bit. Speaking of running backs, this is not meant to turn to a running back conversation, but we saw last year Todd Gurley got hurt, and then CJ Anderson stepped in, and you couldn't even tell.
Right.
So, side note on running back value there. Obviously, Todd Gurley's a better player, but the production didn't drop off at all. But yeah, I think the offense, I think if the Rams exceed the four seed, it's going to be because McVay added some wrinkles. Jared Goff progressed as a quarterback. And I think McVay is capable of that. I just want to see if Jared Goff is capable of taking that next step as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's good. I've got them in my three seeds, so we can just, you know, transition into them next. But, yeah, no, I think, yeah, you know, like you said, I'm really excited that the Eagles ended up getting Carson Wentz over Jared Goff. We'll get to the Eagles a little bit later. But, you know, they're another team. They've got, you know, Jared Goff, you know, good enough. Todd Gurley, good, but running back. But then they've got Aaron Donald. And Aaron Donald is a guy who can impact any play of the game no matter what. So he's going to be, you know, as impactful as anybody on defense can at all. So they're going to want to go back to the Super Bowl. They're going to be hungry for it. I don't think they've got quite the talent as, you know, the two teams I've got ahead of them. And I think, you know, two teams that you're going to have ahead of them as well.
I got three teams ahead of them.
Oh, yeah, you do got three teams ahead of them. But, yeah, no, I think that they are a very good team. And they're just going to totally run away with the division, too, which is going to help them, which is why I had them above the Bears. I think they're going to have a much easier go in the division.
Yeah, and then quick Rams trivia, then we'll mention, I think, the Seahawks briefly, because, like the Packers, neither of us had them making the playoffs. Matt, who's the Rams' backup quarterback? I didn't know this till just now, so I looked it up.
The Rams' backup quarterback.
New this season. Well, it's not like a rookie, but he's new to the Rams.
I know the guy's name, Jake. I'm sure it's not him. I was going to say that kid who played for BYU, and then Kansas, and then Miami, and then the Seahawks.
Oh, shoot. What is that guy? I literally watched reading him something. Jake. We'll figure that out. That's not him, though.
Yeah, I'll Google it. You go ahead and tell
Heaps.
Me.
Heaps. Jake Heaps.
Heaps. Okay, there we go.
That's not him. No, you're going to die when I tell you. Blake Bortles.
Oh, Blake. Good,
he's at least on the roster. I can't guarantee he's a backup quarterback, but he's on the roster there.
Blake, I feel bad for that dude. I mean, I know he wasn't a great quarterback, but he really has taken more heat than anybody in the NFL in the last, like, 4 years.
And he was at UCF when they beat Baylor in that Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
People forget that, I think.
I was like, how was Blake Bortles? Like, was he, like, legit the worst starting quarterback in the league? Or was it just that he was really bad compared to his defense? Because he didn't really have any tools either.
That's the thing. Here's the thing, and also quarterbacks. I think we don't talk about enough receivers and like who they're throwing to. You know what I mean? Like one thing that I like about Pro Football Focus is instead of a receiving trait being he can make contested catches, like making hard catches, you should look for receivers who don't have to make hard catches because they're open.
Right. Yeah. Like the cornerback who doesn't have any interceptions because they never throw him the ball.
Exactly right. And the thing with Jacksonville last year is they lost Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, Blake, the top two receivers. And I said a lot, like, there's going to be a drop-off. They're not going to make I didn't think they'd be that bad. But, like, Blake Bortles does not have anyone to throw to. And we saw that. And Blake Bortles looked terrible. I think you got to look at – people just take quarterback production, accuracy, total yards, things like that. For granted, they don't factor in that it matters who you're throwing to. And obviously, it's not like quarterbacks don't matter because obviously, like Aaron Rodgers is better than Blake Bortles, no matter who he's throwing to. But you got to put it all in context. So that's why I thought last year Jacksonville wouldn't make the playoffs because they didn't have any receivers. It was even worse than I thought. Blake Bortles looked terrible, and I think this year you picked Jacksonville to make the playoffs. I didn't because they didn't fix the receiving issue.
You always fix your receiving issue when you've got Nick Foles on the team. Nick Foles fixes any receiving issue.
So the short answer is I don't think Bortles is as bad as he was last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think he's a top 32 quarterback. Actually, I'd have to make a list. So don't quote me on that.
But he's in that, you know, Colin Kaepernick range of like 29 to 35.
Yes, and I just want to say I didn't think Colin Kaepernick was a good quarterback before. It was either cool or not cool to think
that. Yeah, yeah. Jake, we haven't been a fan of Colin Kaepernick since he took Alex Smith's job.
Ever since he was at Nevada, I thought this is a bad quarterback prospect. And as a Niners fan, I was upset when we drafted him. I was upset. I can go on to that. But I just want to say it's nothing political. It's just football-wise, I don't think Kaepernick's a good quarterback. Yeah. Let's move on before I get in trouble. My number three, Matt, is the Saints.
Okay, cool.
And the only reason they're not higher is because of how old Drew Brees is. You know, you saw it last year a little bit, the arm strength faded ever so slightly. It wasn't even 100% of the time in games, but there'd be moments in the games where you'd be like, you know, I think you can make that throw a couple years ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the only reason they're not higher. Love their secondary. Marshawn Lattimore, I think, is one of the top 10 cornerbacks in the league. Their safety. Marcus Williams, Utah, I don't know if he's an alum, I think he left school early, but Utah product, fantastic, amazing ball skills. Cam Jordan is a fantastic defensive end. Obviously, they have Alvin Kamara. They lost Mark Ingram, but we've been talking the whole episode about why running backs don't matter, so I don't think that's a huge issue. The question mark is beyond their receiver, and he's on my fantasy team, so I can't believe I'm blanking on his name.
Michael Thomas.
I think he's one of the top 10 receivers in the league. He just got paid a lot of money. We can talk about receiver contracts, why I think you should do in a different episode, because I think it's better to have it, like, anyway. We'll talk about that different episode. But Michael Thomas just got paid. Beyond that, though, I'm worried. So between the receiving core as a whole unit and Drew Brees' age, that's why I still have him at three and not making one of the top two seeds, getting a bye. But they're really talented over the entire roster. So they're going to be really good this year.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, I actually had Saints at two, so we can, you know, talk about them at the same time because I was going to give my two anyway. I've got them at two. But like you said, I mean, there's a reason that they went and tried to go get Dez Bryant last year. It's because they didn't have enough receivers. They still don't have enough receivers. So it's kind of shocking that they didn't get anybody in free agency or the draft. But at the same time, you know, there's not a lot of good free agent wide receivers on the market. You know, like the NFL is one of those sports where there's usually not a very good free agent market, just because if teams can keep a player, then they usually will. But I just realized when you were talking about Marcus Williams. So 2 years ago was the year as the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and it was because Marcus Williams, that was the Vikings actually, but the Eagles would have played the Saints, except that Marcus Williams botched that tackle on Stephon Diggs. And then last year there was, of course, the no call pass interference. So if you're a Saints fan, you've got to be really, really upset with the way the playoffs have gone the last couple of years.
I think the Saints should have at least had the chance to play for a title. I think it's very realistic where, like, if either one of those plays goes differently, they win one of those Super Bowls. Not necessarily like they're going to. Like, I don't know if they beat the Eagles or they beat the Patriots, but it's definitely realistic. They could have.
Yeah, absolutely.
They could have. You know what I mean? Two plays go differently, and it's possible there's at least one more Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Yeah. So it is, and, you know, now that we're talking about that, I'm starting to second-guess myself, because I do think it's hard, to maintain success for a long time. I think that's hard. I think it, you know, helps that they haven't won, and so that they're still hungry. But, you know, people get new contracts, people get older, people leave the team, and so that sort of concerns me. But like you said, they're a very, very complete team. Drew Brees is still going to be a top, I think, four quarterback, we could say, pretty safely. And, you know, Taysom Hill's not going to, you know, necessarily win you a playoff series or anything, but, like, he might win you a playoff game or a regular season game that would get you a better seed. So I think they've got, you know, impact players like that who can make a difference. So I think they've got a lot of things that can scare you, and I think Drew Brees can make mediocre receivers look like good receivers.
Do you remember last year? We were in California watching the Saints on Monday night, and Drew Brees set the all-time passing yards leader, and then everybody for like 2 days was like, Drew Brees is the best quarterback of all time. When I was like, no one had said it before he broke the record,
right.
And then no one said it after.
Right?
Just like 2 days where he was the best quarterback of all time. It's just, you know, the most moment thing.
I do kind of remember that.
Yeah, I think the best Saints receiver besides Michael Thomas is Lil Jordan Humphrey, rookie from Texas. So keep that name in mind. Matt, you said you're number two. My number two, we've already talked about, Minnesota Vikings. Love the defensive line. I like their secondary. Again, I think they have one of the best two wide receivers. Kyle Rudolph is a top 10 tight end. Not production-wise because of some injuries, but I think talent-wise when he's on the field, he's a top 10 tight end. That's my number two, Minnesota Vikings. And we both have the same number one because we haven't said him yet. And I know Matt has him in the playoffs.
Yes, I do.
So, Matt, who's our number one seed then for the NFC?
The big, bad Philadelphia Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. Carson Wentz. We got DeSean Jackson back. We still got Alshon Jeffrey. Who's this, the English running back?
I don't know, but that guy's killing you. I've never even heard of him.
Yeah, but so he's really good. He tore his ACL last year, so he missed the game in London, unfortunately.
Boston Scott? He's the only one I don't know at your running back, so I'm guessing it's
him. Did we get a different running back from London? I'm talking about the guy who got traded from the Dolphins.
I just know all your other running backs are American, so that's why I think it's this guy.
Did we try? No, this guy was on the team when we won the Super Bowl.
Oh, I don't remember then. I thought you were talking about this year.
Okay, address. No, but anyway. So I thought he was going to be back. He might not be back. But, you know, we got Darren Sproles back for another year who, you know, is old, probably not going to play as much, but he's going to get, some plays. Great defensive line, real good linebackers. The problem last year was that, Jake's talked about it in this episode, is if you get multiple injuries in the same position, that's really going to hurt you. And it was in a really important position with cornerback. A lot of those guys are going to be healthy. We solidified our cornerback depth through the draft and, you know, one or two free agents. So that position should be solid. We're not Super Bowl drunk anymore. The Eagles, in my mind, are the most complete team in the NFL.
Yeah, I love everything about the Eagles. First of all, I think Carson Wentz is a top 5 to 8 quarterback, somewhere in that range. when healthy. Look at their running backs. We were just talking about that, and I know we've talked about how running backs don't matter the entire episode, but you still need to have running back. It's not that they don't matter. It's that the production doesn't. But let's go through the list, Matt. Corey Clement from Wisconsin. Love the guy. I think he's fantastic. Josh Adams from Notre Dame. This is his second year. He was really good in college. Jordan Howard comes over from the Bears. My guy, who you need to look out for, Miles Sanders, backed up Saquon Barkley at Penn State for a couple years. Last year played, had over between 1,000, 1,200 rushing yards, something like that at Penn State. Love him. He's my favorite Eagles running back. Wendell Smallwood. You go like seven deep in players that can do something.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the wide receiver. I think this is the best top-to-bottom wide receiver core in the National Football League. First, you got Zach Ertz, top three-ish tight end. I think we're both on the same page on that.
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson is back. You know, he's not DeSean Jackson of 2014, but he's still DeSean Jackson. Alshon Jeffrey, fantastic at what he does. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Stanford receiver. He has the best ball skills in the league. I know I also previously mentioned on the episode, you want to look for receivers who can create separation and not have to make hard catches. But if you do have to make a hard catch, Arcega-Whiteside is fantastic at it. We mm-hmm. saw last year, Stanford, if I'm not mistaken, if I am, let me know. But they led the country in jump balls, like fades in the end zone. And it's because of Arcega-Whiteside. They're all going to Arcega-Whiteside. So I think the offense is going to be great.
Yeah. Nelson Agholor, you didn't even mention.
I didn't even mention Nelson Agholor. And I'm a Nelson Agholor truther. I've loved him ever since he was at USC. On the defensive line, I love Brandon Graham. He's a hero of the Super Bowl. Fletcher Cox, top three. I think if Aaron Donald was in the league, people would be talking about Fletcher Cox in a similar fashion.
Yes, absolutely.
As good as Aaron Donald is. Fletcher Cox is that good. Orlando Scandrick, I think, is going to be interesting. He's a cornerback. He used to play for Dallas. He's been around, bounced around a little bit, but he's going to be interesting. Sidney Jones, Washington cornerback. Washington cornerbacks or defensive backs, I'm all in on their defensive coordinator, Jimmy Lake. I'm like 99% sure that's the name, but I think they have he's the best defensive coordinator, defensive back coach in the country in college. So anytime there's a Washington cornerback on your roster, it is a good thing. And Ronald Darby, as well, last year was really solid. So I think if they can stay healthy in the defensive backfield, because I think they are thin, but their starters are good. We saw last year that happened to them. If their cornerbacks and Carson Wentz can stay healthy, I think they have the best roster. I think they have a better roster than the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have a better, more potent offense, but I think the Eagles have the best top-to-bottom roster in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Oh, man, I'm excited. I want another one. I want another Super Bowl.
So I'm guessing we're both picking the Eagles to win the division or the conference as well.
Yes. Yeah. I've got them winning. I just think they have way more talent than anybody except, you know, possibly the Rams. But like you said, you know, certainly deeper than the Rams.
So we both have a Patriots Eagles Super Bowl.
Once again,
for our prediction.
Yep.
That was a fun Super Bowl. I watched that with a girl and her family. It was like the second date.
Nice.
It was weird.
That seemed odd.
But it worked. You know, go Eagles, right?
Yes. It did. Now, if they make the Super Bowl, you're going to have to go watch it with them again.
Well, she's married, but her husband seems nice.
Hey, yeah. So. It's not so you can marry her. Yeah. It's so the Eagles can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No, I'll hit her up. I'll hit her DMs up for sure. But that's what we think. I'm very high on the Eagles this year. High on a lot of things. I'm excited for football season to start again. We're going to be talking a lot of football. We need to talk more soccer as well. But I do want to talk wide receiver contracts. So we'll add that to the list of stuff we want to talk about. All this stuff is going to be on Double Take with Matt and Jake. It's on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Audioboom. Check it out. Subscribe, rate, review, 5 stars only. Again, the website, I think by the next time we record, the website will be up, as well as that article on the running back's value, which I'm working hard on. Longest article I've ever written, so I'm really excited about it. Not done yet, but mostly done. So check all that up. That's what we got coming up in the works. Matt, closing arguments, closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. You mentioned we need to talk more about soccer. Real Salt Lake, one of my three or four favorite teams in all sports, they've moved all the way up to second place in the Western Conference. So shout out to them. And then this is a year Carson stays healthy. This is a year Carson gets a Super Bowl.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm excited. Appreciate everybody listening. And we will talk to y'all next week.